We know.
Do you know?
You've got questions?
We've got answers.
Entertaining the musings of your mind.
Well, good evening, everyone, and happy St. Patty's Day. Welcome to We Know, Do You Know? And I hope you could hear that new intro clear. It sounded okay on this end. By the way, I'm Pam, and joining me today in every show thereafter is my good friend Dawn. Hello, Dawn.
Hey, Pam. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. And on my end of the spectrum, the intro sounded pretty good. So it was just funny hearing us doing that, you know.
I know, right?
we've been out of the loop for a little bit.
Yeah, and the magic of splicing things. Dawn and I recorded things separately, and then she's so good at putting things together on her computer, and she spliced everything together to get that intro. The only thing I'm not used to is that it's so short compared to my other shows. You know, the other shows' intros are like 45 seconds, and I think this one is like 10 seconds.
Yeah, I think it runs actually about 15 to 17 seconds, so it's like when it starts, you better be ready to go live, right?
Exactly.
But the good thing about us is that we're usually ready to go live, so that's usually not a problem, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
Yeah, if only people knew what was going on right before the show, they would be totally amazed that we were even doing this right now.
That's right, and laughing. Let me just tell you, and I must tell you that what do I call them? Show gremlins. They just kind of show up at the most inopportune times, and you know all the behind the scenes stuff. I mean, it would make for a funny, very funny. Well, not to us, but the people watching it would be hilarious, right? That will be another show down the road.
And this is why when you run a live show like this,
yep.
I don't care if you're 20 years old or if you're 50 years old, you're going to get gray hair and go bald, let me tell you.
Well, considering I went and had my roots done today, if that tells you anything.
So,
I have to keep that up pretty regularly. It's like, this whole computer thing, you know, they're great, but at the same time, they can be the biggest pain in the rear ever. So anyway, so how have things been with you, Pam? It's been a little while since we've been on air together.
I would say so. It's been 3 years. Just a little background for the listeners. Dawn and I started this show 3 years ago. We got two shows in, and then a lot of things came up in our personal lives. And I'll never forget posting on our Facebook page, "We're taking a little break. We'll be back in a while." Well, here we are 3 years later.
Yeah, I think it was something like, "We're on hiatus." Well, what have you done during your hiatus, Pam? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we could both say we've been doing life, but it's not the kind of life that, you know, people – it's not like we've been out traveling the world, but, God, we might as well have been, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Maybe some of that – maybe one of us can find that Irish pot of gold and take another break.
Hey, I'm thinking because we started back on St. Patrick's Day, that's got to turn our luck around, for goodness sakes.
I would think so. Just busy with things in my family life and stuff like that. And I do have other shows that I run from Take Two Radio. And some of them are on hiatus because of the things going on at home. But, you know, that's really about it. And I know that you've been busy in your personal life.
Yeah, it's been a crazy 3 years, but, you know, a lot of great things have gone on, but it's just been, you know, life happens. And has there ever been a truer statement? It just happens whether you want it to or not. Sometimes it's just going to do, and you got to either, I don't know, grab hold and hang on, or you just got to, you know, muddle through the best way you know how. But it's interesting because when you and I kind of one day were just pondering about getting the show back up and running, it was so funny. It was like we were laughing, if you recall, because we keep getting these notifications on Facebook that people are like viewing our our page, and
right.
It was like we were joking about, oh, this is someone's trying to nudge us that this we need to do this, you know, and we've just kind of been subtly ignoring it, I guess, because we've had so much else going on. But I think we just decided that day, let's do it. No thought. We just said,
exactly.
You know? And
exactly.
We did. And ever since, I mean, we've been promoting it. And so here we are. It's our big premiere re-debut, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it is a re-debut. And even though it's titled Episode 1, it's
mm-hmm.
Episode 1 of 2017.
That's so true. It's episode 1. So, you know, it's technically our third episode, but
right.
there's been a 3-year lapse in time. We probably just want to start fresh, right?
Yes, exactly.
You know, so anyway, but it's, I have to say, it's great to be back on air with you. I know we had a blast before, and even when I sat in and co-hosted some of your Take Two Radio shows where we interviewed so many different people, those were great times as well. And so it's always great to be on air with you doing our thing, because we have so much fun together. We have fun off air too. I mean, you know, it's great to be good friends with you. So I'm glad to be doing this.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing about one of the things that you said is that we're such great friends. What people don't realize, we've never met in person.
That's going to be a show down the road, isn't it?
For real. I know. If anybody can believe that, we've never met in person for I don't know how many years now. It's almost 5, or is it around 5, I would think, right?
It might be closer to 6 years. I know we met, let's think about this. It was in late 2011, early 2012. It's been, you're right, 5 years, going on 6. It's been a little while. And it's funny, I met you on Twitter. I met you way back in the day. You were doing some other show down way back in the archives. And I just started following you or the show. And then just through happenstance, got to know you. And I thought, you know, she is such a cool person. I kind of feel kind of bad because we haven't, like, actually made a point to travel, you know, to meet, even if it's just midway or something. But for the listeners out there, I live in North Carolina, in case my accent did not give that away. And Pam lives in Chicago, or the suburb of Chicago, in case her accent didn't give it away. I mean, let's just be real here. So we're in two
different
places.
I don't have an accent.
Well, I don't have an accent either, by the way. You know, it depends on where you live and what part of the country you live in, whether you have an accent or whether other people from different areas have an accent. But seriously, I mean, so we live where we live, and we've, like she said, we have talked. For the record, let me throw this out there. I've even tried to get Pam to Skype, like video Skype. She would not do it. And it's like, but we're friends, you know, what the heck? It's just like, no, I'm not doing it. You know, my hair is not fixed. I'm like, do I care about that? We're friends. So to this day, I've never even laid eyes on her. Thank God for profile pictures.
I thought we did Skype one day with video. Maybe I'm wrong.
I would have documented that if we had. So I know that we have. No, we have.
One day. Like John said, we're going to have a show on something of this topic further down the line of social media and friendships and things like that. So we'll get into that more. But why don't you go ahead and tell everyone what the show is going to be about?
Well, in short, it's going to be about whatever we decide is going to be about. But no, seriously, I mean that in half seriousness, because this show is not going to be like a typical talk show where we get on here and talk about celebrities or, you know, I mean, you can find that all day long on TV. We try to pick that are interesting and things that really – that people ponder over or they think about, but they don't ever, like – you know, they don't ever take – it's kind of like they don't ever take the time to like go research about it or do, you know, find out information. It's just kind of like stuff in passing people just, you know, inadvertently, oh, you know, wonder about. And so we are trying, we've got a whole slew of topics coming that we'll be diving into each show, but, it's just a, it's kind of an anything goes show. We pick a topic that we think people would be interested in, that because we are interested in learning more about it. And it, the show is called We Know, Do You Know? Because we will have the answers. We'll have the information. We'll present it. And it will, you know, be factual. It will not be fake news. Let me go ahead and say that on the first show.
It's not going to be fake news.
No way. You can find that anywhere else on the internet, by the way. But that's not Pam and I. So if you want real facts, folks, come to us, you know, third Friday of every month. But seriously, so that's kind of a crux basis of what we're doing. We'll pick something we think is interesting, and then we'll just kind of run with it. And I don't know if we'll take calls at some point, you know, but we will have some guests on that will help talk about the topic, expand the topic. And we're going to be covering a lot of different things that are of interest to people. Some things will be relevant in terms of, like, for example, I'm just throwing one out there, like cyberbullying. Social media, like Pam and I were just talking about, we've never met in person. And one show may be about, you know, do you have a friend that you've met online that you've never actually met in person and they're one of your best friends in the world? So, you know, these are things that people have happened in their lives. And that's what we want this show to be about. We want it to be meaningful. We want it to be informational, but we want it to be fun. And if you haven't guessed by now, Pam and I love to have fun. So we'll kind of bring the three together, I guess. Is that the best way? I mean, Pam, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, not really. I mean, other than, you know, like she said, we have a whole slew of topics already in mind on what we want to do. And we'll figure out, you know, what each show is going to be. So you may want to follow us, you know, on Twitter at We Know Do You Know, and also like our Facebook page, which is under the same name. And you can find the previous podcast and the links to the new podcast that will be coming up on TakeTwoRadio.com. That's probably the best way to keep in touch. Also, if you follow us on Blog Talk Radio under Take Two Radio Network, each time we have a show set up, you'll get an email about it. So that way you'll know when the next show is and what the topic is going to be or the general idea of it. If you have any suggestions on topics to any of the listeners out there that you'd like us to discuss, we'd be happy to take those into consideration. And you can email us at weknowdoyouknow@gmail.com. That's right, right?
That is correct. Yeah, that's right. And one thing I'll add to that is the thing that I'm going to love about this show from being a co-host with you, aside from that, is that, you know, most shows out there, regardless of whether they're online or, you know, they're in the mainstream media, they're just kind of based on one format. And Pam and I, being so diverse as individuals, we like to bring a little bit of everything. It's kind of like an a la carte talk show in a way, because it's not going to be one continuous you know, topic that we will carry over from show to show. It will be different topics, and we'll spend that show talking about that particular thing. And so, you know, we hope this will keep the content interesting and exciting all the time, and it will keep you guys coming back to listen, because you won't be expecting the same thing. You know, hopefully we won't get boring. Which, you know, I don't think we will, but, you know, listeners may have a different idea. So, in any event, but it's great to be back. I have to say, it's going to be a lot of fun. We are so excited and looking forward to just interacting with as many of you as possible. And like Pam said, I just second it. You know, please drop us a line. Let us know what you think. And if you have suggestions, we are happy to take heed and run with it. I mean, we're kind of like internet PIs, if you will. We'll do the investigative reporting.
Yes. And because today is St. Patrick's Day, we figured we would go ahead and celebrate it and give you some history and some fun things about St. Patty's Day that you may or may not be aware of.
It sounds like a plan. Top of the evening to you, Pammy. I don't even know how to speak Irish. That was so wrong. That was such a fail. That was an epic fail. So I was not in Irish mood.
Don't try that again.
I won't. Don't worry. We don't want to lose listeners before we even get them here. No, seriously. I know. Today is St. Patrick's Day, so happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone out there. If you're drinking green beer, cheerio. Have a great time. I know it's a day of celebration, though, seriously, for a lot of folks, and people just like to be able to come together and have fun and celebrate the day or have a reason to celebrate. And Pam, I know you've kind of been doing a little digging, into like the origins of St. Patrick's Day. What did you find out on that?
Well, I'll go ahead and share that with you. But first, I want to say everybody is Irish on St. Patty's Day.
That's right. That's right. There you go.
So what I found, and I've only chosen a small portion of it, I do have links that I'm going to post to our website where you can read further on each thing that we speak about today if you wanted to. So St. Patrick's Day, or the Feast of St. Patrick, is a cultural and religious celebration held on the 17th of March, the traditional death date of St. Patrick, the foremost patron saint of Ireland. St. Patrick's Day was made an official Christian feast day in the early 17th century and is observed by the Catholic Church, the Anglican Communion, especially the Church of Ireland, which makes sense, and the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Lutheran Church. The day commemorates St. Patrick and the arrival of Christianity in Ireland and celebrates the heritage and culture of the Irish in general. Celebrations generally involve public parades and festivals and the wearing of green attire or shamrocks. Christians also attend church services, and historically the Lenten restrictions on eating and drinking alcohol were lifted for the day, which encouraged and propagated the holiday's tradition of alcohol consumption. And therefore, we have green beer.
See, and there you have it, right?
Yep.
You know, and that's interesting because as you were talking about, the green beer, and it being a Christian holiday, it's interesting because as you and I have kind of been talking about this topic, I came across something so interesting, and it was kind of like this oxymoron, ironic article today. And ironically, it was done on a website that is completely satire, and the website is called thebabylonbee.com. But I saw this headline today out there on social media, and I just rolled when I read it. It says, are you ready? It says, Nation celebrates devout Christian missionary by getting totally hammered.
Mind you,
this is a satire article, okay? I'll preface that by saying, but here's what it says in brief. Reports from around the country Friday indicated that celebrations in honor of Christian missionary St. Patrick consisted primarily of consuming large amounts of alcohol in order to get, quotes, air quotes, totally plastered. Partygoers around the nation and world declared their deep level of respect and admiration for the missionary, I don't know if I can get through this, by pounding all sorts of green beer, hard liquor, wine, and mixed drinks throughout the day and into the night, sources confirmed. And this is funny. They have like supposed real quotes. Now, I'll say this is fake news, folks. This is fake news. It's satire. So it's not serious, not real. But someone is quoted as saying, I'd like to dedicate this to the great ambassador of the one glorious gospel to the lost souls of Ireland. One man in Boston declared just before some friends hoisted him up to perform his third keg stand of the morning. And then a woman in Los Angeles was quoted as saying, St. Patrick! She was overcome with emotion at the thought of the devout evangelist. And then a Denver man, paying his respects to the missionary, echoed the celebratory yet reverential mood sweeping the nation to the man who was taken captive into slavery, at the young age of 16, escaped, and then returned to the land of his enslavement to share the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ among the pagan Druids who wanted him dead. So as I read this article, I was rolling, naturally. It was not real. It's satire. But when you think about it, Christian, non-Christian, whoever, people typically, that's one of the things people do on St. Patrick's Day, is it's a day of celebration. And it fallen on Friday this year, you know, it's just an added kind of bonus to get out and go party and have a good excuse to party, however you celebrate it. So it was just really funny that it, you know, it was founded, the origins of it are tied to St. Patrick, who was a Christian missionary. But, and, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says drinking is wrong, but I'm just saying the irony is kind of funny, you know, the way this article was kind of framed around that. So I was just rolling when I read it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is totally hilarious. So
I know.
And
I bet a lot of people got off work early today to go to the parades and stuff like that, and have their beer. And I know that, you know, of course we can't forget corned beef and cabbage too, because my husband brought me home some today.
Is that right? Oh, how nice of him. The question is, do you like corned beef and cabbage?
I do. I actually do. But my corned beef just never turns out quite right. And so at his job today, they ordered that in, and he grabbed one for me. So that's what I'll be having for dinner when I get off the show with you.
Well, if you must know, I live in the South, as you know, and cabbage is a regular Southern delicacy, and corned beef, people have it. But do you know, I have had cabbage, but I have, and I've tasted it, okay, but I have never had corned beef. No, I have never had corned beef. I've never had it. It's not one of those things where I go, ooh, I don't know if I'd like that. Is that, okay, I might be getting my things mixed up here, but do you serve sauerkraut with that, or is that optional?
I guess you could, but I mean, it's traditionally it's corned beef and cabbage and boiled potatoes.
Oh no! So, I am getting my foods confused, because sauerkraut goes with brats. I think brats, however you say it, we say it brats or brats here in the South,
brats.
But you know what I'm saying, brats. There you go. So that's what I was confused about. But I think, I don't know, when I ate cabbage, I don't really know how to describe it. It's one of those vegetables that you either like or you don't like. And I think I never took a liking to it, because my grandmother would cook it when I was growing up, and the whole house would smell to high heaven. And I didn't mean, it did not smell well. And it surely did not smell good enough to go and eat it. So I steered clear, but I did try it as an adult. And it's one of those I could take or leave vegetables, you know. But now corned beef hash, never had it. So I guess it's a bucket list item. I got to go try it.
Oh, you must. You have to try it at least once. If I'm going to compare it to anything, to me it's almost like baked ham. So if you like baked ham, you should like corned beef.
I like baked ham, so I probably would like that. So, okay, well, please tell me if and when we ever meet up that we don't eat that. Let's go eat something else. Don't be bringing, you know, that stuff to me. Let's just go do something else, okay? No, I'll try it, though.
Yeah.
I will try it, and I'll let you know how I like it. But, anyway, but yeah, that's pretty interesting. I thought I'd share that. I don't think you and I ever discussed that before. And so, see, you learned something new on air about me tonight you didn't know.
Yeah, which is surprising, because I think I know just about everything else.
I know, that's so true. Well, you know, that's one of those things. We don't really talk about food that much, believe it or not.
No.
We talk about so many other things, like real life stuff, you know. So, yeah, we kind of – sometimes food doesn't come into the mix very often. Maybe we should.
Yeah.
I don't – in fact, come to think of it, I mean, we're a little off topic, so I'll get back on here a sec, but I don't even think I know what your favorite food is. That's pretty bad. Yes, folks, we really are real good friends, believe it or not.
Actually, it's Mexican food.
Okay. Well, hey, that's good. Mexican food. So if you ever come to North Carolina, there's tons of restaurants. I'll take you there. Some really good
Mexican food. All right, there you go.
By the way. See? And they don't serve corned beef and cabbage, so we're good.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
So.
Oh, no.
You're such a dork. What's your favorite?
probably, if I had to pick, would be Italian, and Mexican would be second. But
and
I'm a big pasta girl.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I love pasta, so I'd have it every day if I could in some form. It's great, but it's not good for you, so I try not to eat it, you know, that frequently. But it's really good when you do.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, in that little verse, that little paragraph that I read, it talked about wearing green or shamrocks, mm-hmm. and I think you have something that goes with that.
Yes, I do. In fact, I found a neat little interesting tidbit about the color green and how it came to be. And let me find my information here because I'm kind of all over the place and I do apologize. But no, one of the things that I found very interesting today was that, do you know, I mean, everybody tends to think green when they think St. Patrick's Day. And ironically and interestingly enough, green was not the original color that was associated. It was like a light blue, a baby blue. And I found that very interesting because it's like, how did it ever get to be green? Well, one thing that I found was that how the color green became synonymous with Ireland was that, you know, typically, as I mentioned, on St. Patrick's Day, it's customary to wear green clothes and shamrocks or an accessory, which is often referred to as the wearing of the green. And St. Patrick is said to have used the shamrock, a three-leaved plant, to explain the Holy Trinity to the pagan Irish. So it was like, that was like a visual representation of the Holy Trinity. And it was his way to kind of, I guess, create a conversation and explain how that works. But green shamrocks, clothes, and accessories have been worn on St. Patrick's Day since at least the 1680s. Beginning around the 1640s, the color green was customarily associated with Ireland. And if you ever see pictures of Ireland, the countryside is just lush green. I mean, it's just rolling hills of green. And it's the most gorgeous green you've ever seen. So, you know, for example, the green harp flag was used by the Irish Catholic Confederation. So there's a lot of, you know, nuances to the color green itself that actually represents real things in Ireland. So it would make sense that the color green would have been adopted, you know, although I didn't know till I started researching this that it went as far back as the 1600s. Later on in the 1790s, the green became associated with Irish nationalism when it was used by the United Irishmen. And this was a Republican organization led by Protestants with many Catholic members who launched a rebellion in 1798 against British rule. So the phrase, the wearing of the green, comes from a song of the same name, leading to passionate United Irishmen supporters being persecuted for wearing green. And then throughout the 19th and 20th centuries and into the 21st century, the color green and its association with St. Patrick's Day has just spread throughout the world. So it's taken hold. So I just found that, you know, it made sense because these are things that you think about. You're like, why green? Why not yellow? You know, for a long time, until I learned differently, I always thought, well, you know, green is one of the colors you think about when you think of spring, because everything's blooming, everything's really green and vivid and bright and colorful. And, you know, St. Patrick's Day is kind of on the cusp of everything becoming spring, turning, you know, spring arriving. So, you know, that was one of the things that I thought. But when you start digging, you realize it is historical, you know. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is, because until you told me about that, I had no idea. I just always thought it was green, and that was it.
And I mentioned earlier that blue was previously associated with the color, with St. Patrick's Day. And the reason for that, before green took hold, green was considered unlucky, if you can believe that. And then because St. Patrick's blue was considered symbolic of Ireland for many centuries, and the Irish presidential standard is still blue. So at one point, before it ever became green, it was, you know, blue. And you think about it, people associate luck with green things like money, you know, and we have a lot of crazy things here in the South that, you know, if you eat your greens on New Year's Day, you'll have good luck. And greens are symbolic of money. So there again, there's that green, you know, so it's interesting how it's transitioned from one color to the next. And now it once green was once thought of as being unlucky, but now it's considered lucky in a lot of different ways. So, you know, who comes up with this stuff, right?
I
oh my gosh.
I know. And you think of clovers too. And, you know,
yeah.
I know as children, we all sat there for hours in the grass and looking for a four leaf clover. So we would get that luck. I'm here today to say that those four-leaf clovers don't do a whole lot for me when it comes to luck.
That, you know, I don't think I've ever found a four-leaf clover. So this, maybe we should rename the show, What Has Dawn Not Told Pam? Because, you know, maybe we should do a Dawn Knows But Pam Does Not Know version of We Know Do You Know. You know what I'm saying? Because seriously, I mean, I have looked and looked and looked. Now my mother can be in a field of clovers, like a little clump of clovers on the ground, and she can bend down and there. It's like it. She's a clover magnet. She can pinpoint those things. I remember growing up, and it never failed. We'd be in the yard, and she'd find a four-leaf clover every time. I'm like, really, Mom? I'm looking for days in the same patch, and I can't find a clover, four-leaf clover. So you know, it is interesting because. It's interesting how these things, like if you find a four-leaf clover, you're going to have good luck, and how these things are kind of made-up things that are more folklore than anything that people may or may not buy into. And it's just interesting how, in reality, it doesn't really bring you any luck, you know. So, so I don't know. Maybe three-leaf clovers are better. Who knows?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you look at, like, you know, when you break the wishbone from the turkey and stuff like that, you know, that you're supposed, the one that gets the bigger piece is supposed to have the luck. I'm still waiting for all that to kick in, and, you know, I'm not a spring chicken, but I'm not, you know, that old yet either. So,
yeah,
I'm
true.
Still waiting. Maybe it's all gathering together to hit me, like all the good luck will happen when I'm in my 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, see, you know, maybe that we're going to just be late bloomers in that regard with all the good luck and the all this stuff, you know, and we won't have to have green, we won't have to have shamrocks or none of that stuff. It'll just all be natural.
Right.
You know, and
right.
Then we'll be too old to really enjoy the fruits of it, right? Hopefully we will have met in person by then.
Oh, gosh, please, we better.
One day I'm going to retire and you're going to retire and we'll have to do something, like get out and travel the world, you know. Maybe we'll be syndicated and we'll have to go do crazy stuff everywhere by then. Who knows? Funning around.
That would be awesome. Well, I'd like to, you know, go ahead and screen as far as traditions. You know, each state or city has their tradition of what they do for St. Patrick's Day. And ours in Chicago is dyeing of the Chicago River. They did that last weekend. And I guess they probably do it a week early so that way it's, you know, really green when St. Patty's Day does roll around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I looked up to see when this started because, I mean, you would think my living in Chicago all my life, I would know these things. But it's funny, I don't think you really pay attention to a lot of the history of your own state. You're always interested in somewhere else.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, so I went ahead and I looked it up and I got a small blurb from that. And it says, the annual dyeing of the Chicago River for St. Patrick's Day is a family reunion for the Butler and Rowan clans, the two families responsible for the tradition of turning the murky water, and it is murky, into a bright Ghostbuster Slimer green for more than 50 years. According to the tradition, the family with a crew opening decides who the next member is, family member said. The volunteer crew counts 3 sons-in-law on the butler side and Tom Rowan, his brother and nephew, on the Rowan side. So that's interesting. There's
yes.
particular families that are in charge of this. And here
How about
I thought
that?
It was just run by Chicago. You know, they just went ahead and, you know, put the dye in there and then it turns green and that's it. We're off and running. But it's actually 2 families that do this.
You know, that's very interesting. And I didn't catch it if you said it, and I apologize. But are either family descent?
They both
Maybe.
Are.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's so cool, though. But golly, do you know, have you ever heard or have you ever seen how many gallons of dye it takes to dye the river?
No, actually, I don't know that. I did read something, though. I want to say, and maybe I can find it while we're talking, excuse me, I want to say that they don't actually dump in green dye.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I could swear I read somewhere that it's red.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Which makes sense if you think about it.
Uh-huh.
Because think about it. If they're throwing in red dye and the water is blue,
yep,
red and blue make green.
Make green. Yep, that's so true. It sure does.
Yeah, I'm looking, but I could swear I'm like 99% sure that's what it said.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they call it leprechaun dust instead of dye. I don't know. I read it somewhere. But I do have, like I said, I do have links. And if anybody's interested in finding out more, that'll be on the website, too. We have a We Know, Do You Know blog. And it
mm-hmm.
might not necessarily be a blog. It's when Dawn has time to write things
up. You just had to throw that in there,
links.
Right? That's like a subtle hint live on air, folks, so that, you know, it'll hold me accountable. We know this is the kind of friendship we have, just by the way. So, you know.
Oh,
oh my gosh,
it wasn't,
too funny.
But...
No, I know it wasn't. I'm just giving you a hard time. This is the kind of friends
yeah.
we are. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting how these, again, you know, you have a green river in Chicago. And it's just interesting how these different traditions and nuances have just kind of taken hold throughout the U.S. even, and how people celebrate. You know, in fact, as I was doing some research on all of this, the first time it was ever celebrated in the U.S. was in Boston in 1737. And then the first St. Patrick's Day parade was held in New York City in 1766. Now, I can personally attest that today, in my day job, there were a lot of people absent from work today. So I just can only assume they were all celebrating in whatever form, you know, wherever. So a lot of people were absent. So I'm thinking maybe this should somehow become a national holiday. You know, I was not one
you
of those people.
Think
but
after all these years that it would be, you know.
I know, because it is a big deal. Like, you know, it makes you wonder, and I haven't actually looked at for this information, but I'm curious and will. You know, like, being that this originated from Ireland, do the folks there, like, shut down the whole week, you know, prior, leading up
mm-hmm.
to St. Patrick's Day, and they just don't work, and they get paid, and they just have great celebrations, and, you know, it does make you wonder, what do they do, because when you think about what we do here in the States to celebrate, and we've adopted it as a celebratory type holiday, so to speak, so, you know, you can imagine what they do over there in Ireland, and surrounding countries who acknowledge the day as well.
Well, I think if they kept with tradition, when I spoke of the origin of St. Patrick's Day, they go to church and then they celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that they at least do that. You know, I don't think a lot of countries don't change the way they do things once they start them.
Yeah. Somehow in the United States, we always kind of sensationalize everything, don't we? You know, I mean,
I know.
The country of origin would stay true to the origins and the traditions of St. Patrick's Day, Ireland specifically, and here in the U.S., everything's a party. You know, everything's going to have food, it's going to involve food, it's going to involve booze, it's going to involve hanging out with friends and family, you know, whatever. I don't care what it is, whether it's St. Patrick's Day or the NCAA March Madness that's going on right now as well. I mean, people are going to look for a reason to celebrate and fellowship with other people, you know. And so I don't know if St. Patrick would be proud, pleased, or he'd just be shaking his head. But, you know, we just kind of do it up different here in the U.S. for sure.
Well, I think, too, it's because our country versus some others, we work hard 5 days a week at the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, we always look forward to the weekend. So that way we can have some fun. And then when you throw in a holiday, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Win-win.
Yeah.
It's our way of relaxing. We all go into work on Mondays with a hangover. So,
well, I know, really. Like, have we not learned our lesson that, you know, this is going to happen? But, you know, you were talking about turning the river green in Chicago, and I came across this neat little fact that, and I assume it's true, so we're going to just go with it. But one of the things out there is that the reason why annually cities turn rivers from brown to green or blue to green, it's because St. Patrick gained his sainthood with the miracle of turning beer from gold to green. Now, take it for what it's worth. But it says that the miracle acts as a reference to Jesus turning water into wine. But, you know, it's like, you tell us which one seems more miraculous. So, which is, you know, kind of symbolic in its own way, but I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting, you know, because you think St. Patrick being a Christian missionary, you just, in my mind, I don't envision him turning beer from gold to green, you know. I'm like, really? Are you, you know, so again, this may be a fake statement, folks. I don't know. I'm just saying. You know, this could be another satirical place that I've found this information for all I know, but in any event, it is that to me is a little bit far-fetched, but it's fun fact anyway, you know, whether it's real or not. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting how people they adopt certain things, and then I personally think it would be so cool to come to Chicago and see the Green River, you know. And I've seen pictures of it. I would love to go and just see it, just to say, okay, I saw that. That is the coolest thing, you know.
And funny thing, again, I live here, and I think I've only seen it a few times, and that was only because I had to go downtown, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I never particularly went down there to see it, you know, on its own, because, oh, my gosh. I mean, I hate to say it, but the crowds are just insane, you know, with the parade and the river and all that stuff. It's just, there's a lot going on. Unless you like really big crowds and drunk people, you know.
Yeah.
You're not going to go.
Yeah. And just so you know, as I'm digging a little deeper in this little factoid I just gave you, this is another satire website, which as I'm reading through it, I'm going, okay, I see where this is going. And I'll give you an example. Okay, are you ready for this? This is going to make you laugh. So we got to have a little fun here. You know, we got to give facts that I want to clarify a few things. This site said, and this is by the way, pittnews.com. So it's like an opinion article on St. Patrick's Day fact. They decided to have a little fun with St. Patrick's Day in their own way. So here we go. The luck of the Irish actually comes, are you ready, from exposure to the Blarney Stone, which, you know, that is a tradition in Ireland, and people kiss the Blarney Stone, and you know, and they feel like if they do, it brings them luck. In fact, I saw a picture someone posted on Facebook today that had been to Ireland, and it was a picture of them kissing the Blarney Stone. Okay, this website says It comes from, it actually comes from exposure to the Blarney Stone, which emits radiation. So, I mean, come on now.
Okay.
We know the Blarney Stone. So let me give you another one. This one's kind of funny. St. Patrick, actually, now this is something that is part of, I guess, the folklore legend about St. Patrick in Ireland. This part is right. St. Patrick actually drove the snakes out of Ireland. And it had to do with the pagans and, you know, the presence of the pagans and so forth. He did that. But what they've added is because he'd never seen a snake before.
Oh.
And it says, I know. It says, can you believe it? He just kind of freaked out and went overboard. We think everyone can understand, though. How would you react if you saw a fanged, boneless assassin slithering through the grass for the first time? So, I mean, take it for what it is, but you got to have a little fun there. But, yeah. So, the first, that little fact I gave you a moment ago, that is definitely not true, folks. So, anyway. But, yeah.
That's Blarney.
That's Blarney. It's baloney is what it is. For real. So, so what else have you got, Pam? What else did you dig up on St. Patrick's Day?
Well, the origin of limericks. I mean, you see them often. As a matter of fact, I tweeted out, you know, happy to all of my followers, and it had a limerick in there. So I thought I'd check that out. And it says, the origin of the name limerick for this type of poem is debated. As of several years ago, its usage was first documented in England in 1898 and in the United States in 1902. But in recent years, several earlier uses have been documented. The name is generally taken to be a reference to the city or county of Limerick in Ireland, sometimes particularly to the, now I'm bad with saying real Irish names, so I'm going to ask you to forgive me ahead of time because there's some of them in here. sometimes particularly to the Magu poets, it's M-A-I-G-U-E, and may derive from an earlier form of nonsense verse, parlor game, that traditionally included a refrain that included, will you or won't you come up to Limerick?
Oh.
The earliest known use of the term limerick for this type of poem is an 1880 reference in a St. John, New Brunswick newspaper to an apparently well-known tune. So I guess there's a tune, you know, that goes with Won't You Come to Limerick. It must be some kind of song or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one limerick. It says, the one that was in there, it says, there was a young rustic named Mallory who drew but a very small salary. When he went to the show, his purse made him go to a seat in the utmost gallery.
Oh.
And that's, I guess, where limericks come from. So it has to do with the town. But, you know, they say that, I think it's the first, second, and third verse need to rhyme. And then the last verse, the fifth verse, needs to rhyme. So anything in the middle doesn't need to rhyme.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I couldn't write a limerick if I tried. I probably could with some practice, but, you know, I remember being, I guess, elementary, middle school, and, you know, along about fifth, sixth grade, and we were taught how to write limericks, and it was really fun. I mean, it's a fun concept, but it's a particular way you have to frame them, you know, to make them officially limericks. But it's really fun because you can kind of take anything. Maybe that's what we should do. We should create a limerick for our show. That would be cool.
Okay, we'll get right on that, Dawn.
She's like, yeah, after you write the blog.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you can write a blog about
the
limerick.
Yeah. All right. It says, a limerick is a form of poetry in five lines, predominantly anapestic meter, with a strict rhyme scheme, which is sometimes obscene with humorous intent. The third and fourth lines are usually shorter than the other three. And there's another example. It says, the limerick packs laughs anatomical into space that is quite economical. But the good ones I've seen so seldom are clean, and the clean ones so seldom are comical. So
well, okay then.
That went all right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, we'll get right on that, Dawn.
I know, really. I'm just poised and ready to go. Let me tell you, as soon as we get off air, we're gonna do that. Yeah, well, I mean, even still, I mean, that was always really fun. I mean, I think when you're a kid and you're learning about limericks, it's, you know, the rhyming aspect is just, is a lot of fun anyway. But trying to write one, that would be a little bit of a challenge. Maybe we should just stick to reading them, you think?
I think we should stick to you, like, you know, making our intro and stuff like that.
Yeah, those are things I know a little bit about. Maybe we won't venture into territory that would probably be better off to stay away from. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Now, do you have any kind of tradition that you do in your town? Is it just a parade? Do they have one? I mean, I'm assuming because you said a bunch of people took off work today.
Well, mind you, I work out of town, so probably some of the bigger cities had some parades and some celebrations. And I know in the next town over, one of the pubs there was going to have, you know, Irish-themed food for St. Patrick's Day all day. They're a restaurant pub, you know, and they have green beer every year on this day. And there's traditions like that, but because where I am, we don't have, like, we've got big cities in the state of North Carolina and they do certain things, but where I live specifically, no. We had a, this is not funny, but we had a prank call. Someone, you know, claimed that there was a shooter at the mall, the local mall today, and it ended up not being anything. That's what was going on St. Patrick's Day in our town today. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, I wish there had been something because maybe it would have prevented that from going on. But you know, it is interesting because all around, I mean, there's plenty of things to go do if you get out of town and go to some of the bigger cities, if you want to travel and stuff. And, you know, so we're kind of a boring place to be. We're great in certain ways, but, like, we don't dye rivers and lakes green around here like you do up there in Chicago. So, yeah, we just don't do that sort of thing.
Well, you know, again, like you said, I live in a suburb of Chicago, so we don't do anything in my town particularly, you know, to celebrate. Everybody just goes to Chicago if they want to do something like that.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and I know we've talked about throughout this episode that one of the big things associated with St. Patrick's Day of today is alcohol. People drink and they drink green beer and things like that. But did you know that St. Patrick's Day used to be a dry holiday? And because it was considered a religious holiday in Ireland, the country's pubs were actually closed for business on March 17th. And it wasn't until 1970, when St. Patrick's Day became a national holiday, that alcohol consumption was allowed. So that's pretty interesting because you just automatically assume that because there's so much talk of beer and green beer and, you know, and green liquid, so to speak, that this has always been in place. But if you go back and study the origins, which you've shared with us, you know, the origins didn't include any of that. This is what was born out of people coming up with, oh, let's turn beer green for St. Patrick's Day, you know, and just somebody having bright ideas and then running with it, you know, at some point, and it just becoming tradition in a lot of places.
Yeah, and although in the 17th century they were allowed to drink alcohol during Lent and eat, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
I highly doubt their beer or anything else was green, so.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. But, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was gonna throw this out there too, because I thought this was incredibly interesting, and that is that there are more Irish in the United States than in Ireland. And the statistic is that there is an estimated 34 million Americans that have some sort of Irish heritage, while only 4.2 million people actually live in Ireland. And today there are approximately 144,000 plus U.S. residents who were born in Ireland. Go figure.
Wow.
I mean, really?
I mean,
you know,
who's going to guess that we have more Irish people than Ireland? Come on.
I think I've got some Irish in me, but you know what did you say at the top of the show? You said on St. Patrick's Day everybody's Irish. So
everybody's Irish.
It's a worldwide phenomenon for a day, right? So
definitely.
But seriously, I was impressed by that because who knew, right? I mean, I know, but when you think about America being a country of immigrants that immigrated here from all different countries around the world, of course it would make sense that there might be 34 million Americans with some sort of Irish heritage, you know, as opposed to the 4.2 that actually live in Ireland. So, I mean, if you think about it that way, that does make sense, you know. So we've all originated from somewhere. So probably every single American that's walking the face of the U.S. has, you know, their ancestors have Irish heritage or blood or something along those lines. So here you go.
Yeah, somewhere down the line. So
that's right. That's right. Another thing that I found really interesting, I know another symbolic thing that's associated with St. Patrick's Day that we see a lot are leprechauns, and a lot of them are animated cartoon type leprechauns. Sometimes every now and again at some of these celebrations, you see people dressed up like leprechauns. And so I kind of did some digging on that because I was like, well, where did this originate from? And basically what some of my information told me was that they are considered a type of fairy. And basically they were considered fairies of Irish folklore, not, you know, the cute Disneyland pixies that we see or mentally visualize. But in reality, leprechauns of Irish heritage could be lustful, nasty, capricious characters whose magic might delight you one day and kill you the next if you displease them. So they weren't always the nicest people in the world. But some of the lore associated, they were often described as wizened, bearded old men dressed in green. Early versions were clad in red and wearing buckled shoes, often with a leather apron. Sometimes they wear a pointed cap or hat and maybe smoking a pipe. And then, I mean, it was just really neat how the word leprechaun might be derived from the Irish word, and I'm going to try to pronounce this, Leith Brarogan, meaning shoemaker. And leprechauns are often associated with riches and gold. In folklore, their main vocation is anything but glamorous. They are humble cobblers or shoemakers. And shoemaking is apparently a lucrative business in the fairy world, since each leprechaun is said to have his own pot of gold, which can often be found at the end of a rainbow. So, and according to Irish legend, people lucky enough to find a leprechaun and capture him, or in some stories, steal his magical ring, coin, or amulet, can barter his freedom for his treasure.
Oh, sorry, I got to stop you 1 second. Omelet, it was like, what?
Not an omelet that you eat, folks. It's A-M-U-L-E-T. It's amulet.
Sorry,
amulet.
That was funny.
I'm Southern trying to say no. Hey, there's another show. Hey, there's a show idea. We can talk about it when we get off air. How to style pronounce certain words in Southern speak. Yes, let's do that. Okay, moving right along. But anyway, so the Irish legends, people would find a leprechaun, they would capture him and his stuff. We won't repeat the word again. And then they would barter his freedom for his treasure. Leprechauns are usually said to be able to grant the person 3 wishes. But dealing with leprechauns can be a tricky proposition. He was a trickster. I mean, it just goes on and on. So this guy, the leprechaun, he's kind of a take it or leave it kind of guy. I mean, you know, it's like he is not the nice, according to folklore and according to the research that I found, he's kind of not the nice guy that you find on the Lucky Charms box, you know. You know, that guy, he's like the funniest guy, right? And you think, oh, he's the coolest character and he even talks cool. But no, in according to folklore and in real Irish heritage, leprechauns were not so nice. And there you have it. There's the background to leprechauns. Now we know.
Yeah, and I've actually heard that over the years somewhere along the line that leprechauns like to play tricks. And on you, and they may not even be nice ones. And I think even probably cartoons or movies or somewhere I've seen that. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, when you're growing up, you think it's all, quote unquote, rainbows and happy times when you find a leprechaun. But the only thing good you get from that is if you can find that pot of gold. Other than that, you may want to stay away from them.
Yeah, for real, because they're not going to be so willing to hand over their pot of gold to you. You know,
to me,
as I was doing the research for this, you know what came to mind? I was thinking about the troll, like a troll under the bridge. You know, that fable or whatever it was called. I forgot the name of it, but it was, you know, that was what they kind of reminded me of, was that same kind of, you know, good versus evil presence and going against odds all the time. So they might be nice one day and might kill you the next. So, you know, it's just, but interestingly enough, in addition to the folklore side of it, there is a genetic birth disorder called Donahue syndrome, which is actually called leprechaunism, and it's an extremely rare disorder characterized by abnormal resistance to insulin. And it's pejorative in families, but it is a recessive genetic disorder which occurs when an individual inherits two copies of an abnormal gene for the same trait. And this is according to the National Organization of Rare Disorders. So who knew, right? It mm-hmm. also said that babies with the disorder are unusually small before and after birth, and they experience failure to thrive, which means they have low birth weight and do not gain weight at the expected rate. They often lack muscle mass and may also have very low body fat under the skin. And so, you know, it talks about some physical characteristics that, you know, go along with this. And it's just interesting that this is a real thing. And this is the serious side of, you know, this. It's a real serious genetic disorder, and a rare one at that, but still nonetheless it exists. So the things you find when you're digging, it's like a rabbit hole. You just learn more and more stuff. So I found that to be probably the most interesting piece to our research for this show, because who knew, you know, and it was
right.
given that name, you know? So, pretty interesting indeed.
I mean, when I started looking at things that I wanted to talk about, you know, you can go on forever and ever and ever. I mean, we would be on till next month for our next show, you know. If we talked
we sure
about
would,
everything.
We would. That's right.
So we've hit the 1 hour mark, and I think that we were going to wrap it up now. And we'll see you guys again on the third Friday of April, which I believe I wrote down. I think it's, let me just take a look real quick. April 21st at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And, you know, we'll tweet out the link and post it on Facebook, and I'll have it on take2radio.com as well. But this was a fun show. I did learn things about you, and I also learned things about St. Paddy's Day and Irish traditions. So I really enjoyed being back with you.
Oh, likewise. And before we wrap, I want to share an Irish blessing to send our listeners off with, and you as well, mm-hmm. Pam, because this is one thing that we haven't covered, but I thought it would be so appropriate to close the show with this. And my gosh, there are tons of Irish blessings, but this one I thought was very, very appropriate. And it says, may you have a world of wishes at your command, God and his angels close to hand, friends and family, their love in part, and Irish blessings in your heart. Did I just say a limerick?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it's five lines. I'm wondering. But seriously,
yeah,
that was that's an Irish blessing. And, that, you know, we can leave with you as you go about your way and do your celebrating. That's not just tonight, but in some places I know there's going to be celebrating all weekend, St. Patrick's Day festivities.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's been great being back on air with you, just like old times, only better. And, you know, we've had a 3-year lapse, but it's like we haven't missed a beat. So it's great. I look forward to many more shows to come.
Definitely. Now I'd like to give my little limerick, if that's what these are.
Yeah, let's do it.
With wish a wish like none other, and your wish could come true. Wish a wish like others, and the leprechaun may not know it's for you.
Yes.
So that make your wish
great.
Unique.
That's right. Make it unique. And hey, and I'll just tag onto that by saying, and steer clear of the leprechauns.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Oh my gosh!
He's offering you a gold coin. There's something wrong. Run.
Yes, that's right. Well, Pam, this has been great. It's been a great show, and I'm so happy to be back on air with you. I can't wait to do it again. You know, looking forward to next month already. So, and I'm sure we're gonna have a great topic, and we'll have, if you can tolerate our fun and our craziness, for an hour each time, then we're going to bring it. So we look forward to it.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening in. And don't forget to follow us on Blog Talk Radio too. And they'll send you an email out. And that's it. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Celebrate, but be safe. Take Ubers or Lyfts when you can, or have a designated driver.
Most definitely. Well, take care, everyone. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And we'll see you again real soon on air.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.
We know.
Do you know?
You've got questions?
We've got answers.
Entertaining the musings of your mind.